bang? This is Ken Ham inviting you to visit the Ark Encounter in Northern Kentucky. When it comes to what you believe about the past, you have two primary options: the eternal God who created all things, or eternal matter. Now, some Christians say you can blend the two by saying God used the Big Bang to create. But can you blend God and the Big Bang? No. First, the order of events is wrong. The Big Bang says the sun and stars came first. The Bible says the earth came first. The Big Bang says earth was a hot molten blob at first. The Bible says earth was created covered in water. And secondly, the Bible says God created in 6 days, not millions of years. You can't mix the eternal God with eternal matter.
Plan your visit to the life-size Noah's Ark at the Ark Encounter in Northern Kentucky at AnswersRadio.com. That's AnswersRadio.com.
Ignition sequence time.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engines running, commit liftoff.
Good afternoon. Welcome to SWAT Radio. Brad Sykes alongside my good buddy Doug McCary coming to you this Wednesday afternoon, April 17th. Glad you tuned in. And Wilson's at the wheel there driving it today. Jeremy overseeing things, I guess. I don't know. Wilson, welcome, brother.
Wilson. Oh my gosh. We're all in a mess here. Wilson's a great guy.
Man. Love it.
We're talking about Wilson Fonville there. I've known Wilson since he was a little boy. That wasn't that long ago, Wilson. I mean, anyway.
Hey, that dude is yoked over there.
In fact, it was Wilson's mom that sparked SWAT Radio.
Yeah.
It was Wilson's mom.
That's right.
Did you know that, Wilson? Yeah.
We need to put a mic on that boy.
Yeah,
over there.
No, it's good. But yeah.
Hey, man, good to see you. Good gathering today at SWAT Bible study as we looked at Mark chapter 6, verses 7 through. I was trying to figure out, you did kind of jump ahead a little bit, but it was good.
Well, but it was
super
part
solid.
Of it.
No, exactly. Like you said, it's kind of sandwiched in between some other things that, anyway, I don't want to give it away. Got to tune in next week and listen to us.
Which you may not even be here.
Well, maybe. I will be here for a couple of days.
You'll be here Tuesday and Wednesday, but are you going to be here Monday or you don't know yet?
I don't think I'm going to be here on Monday. So
all right.
Any of you SWAT guys want to jump in here
may and have to get,
fill my shoes,
yeah,
may fill have my to, seat.
Yeah, so anyway.
Well, I've got, I think I've mentioned to you, we always take this first segment and just share what's going on in the world and what's going on in our lives. I've got my age the age of my dad. I won't do that to him. My dad is going to come spend a few days with us from Houston. Mm. And in fact, he's over in Beaufort, South Carolina right now. And
I've flown into there.
You know where he is today?
Where?
He's at the Heritage Golf Classic up in Hilton Head, South Carolina.
Wait, isn't Scottie Scheffler playing in that?
Apparently he is.
Yeah, I saw that. I was like, I thought that boy was at home, man,
right?
Getting ready for a baby.
I guess the idea is he'll go home when his wife goes into labor.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
And well, anyway, so that's where my brother and my dad are this afternoon. And they got a pretty day, and it's gorgeous here in Jacksonville.
Yeah.
I know we're going to get into the text this week, but anything on your mind?
Well, did you hear the briefing this morning?
I did.
You know what?
About Bill Maher?
Yeah. I mean, it's murder,
But I'm okay with it. Like, there's 8 billion people. We won't miss you.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
Some of the things that come out of people's mouth, and of course we hear it all the time. Did you think about what you just said? I mean, really?
Well,
think?
But we talked about this, like even in our text this week, about how you can have direct evidence of God and His Word,
mm-hmm.
and even the consequences of not following His Word, and you just ridicule it and reject it. Yeah. And that's what that is right there.
Well, I tell you what's interesting, and I think this is probably why Dr. Moeller dealt with it. You know, I feel like we live in a time where people say one thing, but they believe something else.
Mm-hmm.
They do one thing, but say something else. Mm-hmm. We talk about it as your orthodoxy's got to line up with your orthopraxy. Whatever yeah. you say, you better believe. And belief is not a head thing. Belief is an acting thing. Mm-hmm. And to Dr. Mueller's point, Bill Maher says it's kind of murder, and I'm just okay with it.
Yeah, there's 8 billion people in the world, and he says, I'm sorry, I won't miss you, except right. it's easy for you to say that because nobody did that to you.
Exactly.
And that's the whole point. He says that's his position. And, you know, he's been around for a long time, and he is, you know, he's done programs that have maligned Christians and mm-hmm. and stuff. I feel like, to be honest with you, he's actually been more conservative in the last 6 months than I've ever seen him.
Yeah. Well, he's not, I will say.
Even though he's not conservative.
He's not conservative. He is far left, but he doesn't mind saying what he thinks. And, you know, was it his program on years ago called Politically Incorrect? I think he had a show called Politically Incorrect. And, boy, he is definitely that. He is definitely politically incorrect. That is, to just flat out say, I do think it's murder when we abort babies.
He said that.
But then he backs it up and says, but I'm okay with it.
Yeah, I mean, that's what's mind-blowing. But, again, this kind of goes back to Romans 1. And the fact that we have been turned over in this country to a debased mind as a mm-hmm. whole. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have to acknowledge that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one of the things that defines that point is what Isaiah says when they say, you know, they call good evil and mm-hmm. evil good. You've got people who are saying death to America who are in America.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're chanting.
They're blocking bridge. They're blocking yeah. the Golden Gate Bridge. They're blocking the exit to O'Hare Airport. A couple of other things. When are we going to arrest these people?
Well, and
if you hate America so much, why are you here?
That's the that's the question. If you hate this, but
that's not politically correct.
Well, but the point is that they are here because they want to take over. It's an idea of conquest.
Mm.
They did it in Europe. And look in London now. Mm-hmm. Go look in oh, yeah. England and look mm-hmm. at, we are being basically, we are having less babies. They're having more and they're coming mm-hmm. in and pretty much it is a conquest,
mm-hmm.
and they have now taken over Dearborn, Michigan. Yeah. Dearborn, Michigan is basically an Arab state within America.
Right.
It pretty
right.
much is.
Right. They're not here.
Isn't that Tlaib is yes. in that her
That's
area?
Correct. Yeah. So what you're saying, mm-hmm. they're not here for political advantage.
No, they are here to take over.
Yeah.
And I don't think if you really pulled them aside and talked to them, they would deny that.
Mm-hmm.
Of course we do, because they believe in their ideology. And I will say this for them. They really believe in their ideology.
Mm-hmm.
We're pretty mamby-pamby as Christians a lot of times. We don't know what we believe.
Yep. Yep.
they at least have conviction. And so they're shouting death to America in America. Think about that. There's just something.
I've got some words for that. Right, well, I won't say them here on the air, but
well,
it's pretty gutsy.
Yeah.
Pretty gutsy.
Yeah. No, have you heard any of the people like Gretchen Whitmer saying anything about it?
No,
she's
no,
the governor.
No.
You got people in your state saying burning flags yeah. in New York. Did
death
you see
to America,
that?
Yeah. Death yeah. to America. Death to the Jews.
Yeah.
And yet yeah. we're just going to be quiet.
Yeah. So, this is not the country that you and I grew up in anymore. Wow. When you can say it's murder, it's kind of like murder, but I'm okay with it because mm-hmm. there's too many people in the world. Well, that kind of thinking is rampant in our country. And the kind of thinking that people condemn America, they forget all the freedoms they have here. This is still the greatest country in the world where somebody can mm-hmm. come into this country with no means and can build a business. And you see it happening in cities all over the country and can be a very successful, blessed person because of what God did through the founding Puritan fathers we have as a country.
Yeah.
And people do not want to acknowledge that, that they just want to talk about the bad stuff.
Well, what they want is, can't we just get along?
No, not what they want.
Well,
what
saying what they want. No. What we want, what we think we want is, man, can't we just get along? Well, the reality is, look how that's worked for us in the past 20 years.
Not very well.
Listen, we're dealing with a people that don't want to get along. They want destruction. They don't want peace. They want chaos.
Well, they want domination.
Absolutely. Just
exactly like, so people talk about the freedom of speech, except when it relates to Christians. Mm-hmm. And by the way, tomorrow we have Pastor James Coates from Canada on. If you have not seen The Essential Church.
Yeah, great documentary.
It's a documentary. He is featured heavily in it because he was on the cutting edge up in Canada.
Arrested
up there for simply meeting during COVID. You're going to want to tune in tomorrow. And I will take your questions. You can send them to ask@swatradio.com. We won't be taking calls, but Pastor James Coates. But if you get a chance, really go look at The Essential Church. Mm-hmm. You can probably pull that up on YouTube, I'm pretty sure.
Yes, you absolutely can.
It is a It is a must-see for any believer who is living in our culture right now.
In fact, I'm going to just throw this out there. Maybe James can throw it up on our website or Facebook page, whatever, SWAT Radio for The Essential Church.
I see Wilson searching for it right now on his phone.
I think everybody, every Christian should go see that because what we would typically look at COVID as that was back then.
Oh, man. It was only a couple of years ago.
That's right. Just a couple of years, a few years ago. And but that's coming. I mean, we just got a taste of it during COVID. Yeah. This is what they want to do to the church. They want to shut you down.
And isn't it great, all those references back to what they did over in England and Scotland and how they shut down, they tried to shut down the truth. Because the enemy does not want the truth going out. He wants to shut it down.
Yeah.
And so it's just another way of rejection. But Pastor James Coates, tomorrow on SWAT Radio, I hope you will tune in because he is really, really good. And good in the sense that when he went through that, he's honest about the things that went on, and he will, you'll hear him. I don't want to steal too much of his thunder, but he's very humble about it. Very, you know, he's not cavalier about it. Yeah, I did it, you know, kind of a thing. He's humble and he just did what we should do. Do you know, Brad, there's still people that don't meet in churches because of COVID.
I know.
Still to this day. That's crazy.
It is crazy. It is absolutely crazy. Well, I'm looking forward to that interview. And again, go to SWATradio.com. We'll take questions during that interview. But send those to ask@SWATradio.com. ask@SWATradio.com. Again, I highly recommend you go watch The Essential Church and be ready to send us some questions. We're going to be looking at Mark chapter 6, 1 through 6 today. I hope you'll tune in. We'll take a quick break and be right back.
If you'd like to contact SWAT Radio, the toll-free number is 1-844-777-7928. That's 844-777-7928 or 844-777-SWAT. You can also listen to this program through the WTRJ The Truth app from the App Store or over the Internet by accessing www.swatradio.com. We'll be back shortly for further discussion and to take your calls.
We're so grateful for having people like Tom Neal Truck Company sponsoring SWAT Radio. Tom Neal Truck Company is located at 417 Edgewood Avenue South in Jacksonville, Florida. Tom Neal is a full-service franchise truck dealer for Freightliner, Western Star, Volvo, Isuzu, and Sprinter vans, offering new and used truck sales, service, parts, and truck rental and leasing to the North Florida and South Georgia truck market. More information on Tom Neal Truck Company is located at www.tomnehl.com.
The Florida Georgia Truth Network, on the air in Mandarin at 91.7.
Welcome back to SWAT Radio. Brad Sykes, Doug McCary. This Wednesday afternoon, glad you tuned in. If you want to call during our last segment, we'll take calls at 844-777-7928. 844-777-SWAT. You can also email us your questions as we work through this passage in Mark chapter 6. Send those to ask@swatradio.com.
Well, we are in Mark 6, like Brad said, and Jesus goes back to his hometown. If you haven't, if you're just tuning into SWAT Radio for the first time, each week we kind of go through what we covered in the SWAT Bible studies last week. SWAT stands for Spiritual Warriors Advancing Truth. And we've been working through Mark since last September. We started in, was it September? Right?
Yeah.
We started in September, yeah?
Yeah, that's right, when we came back from the summer.
Right? Yeah, and so we're in Mark 6 now, verses 1 through 6. But just to give you a little bit of background again, Mark starts off his gospel with the beginning of the gospel, and that word is euangelion, which means good news. It was a secular term that was used when a new emperor or king was born, a new emperor or king was coronated, or an emperor or king had won a great military victory. It was a secular, it wasn't a spiritual term. It was an announcement, and it translates for us good news or gospel, and the gospel is good news. And in this case, it's of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And Jesus proclaimed that the kingdom is here, the kingdom of God is here. And what it means is his kingdom to be ruled and reigned over, like he's the one. And we've always kind of viewed that as a bad thing because we had a bad experience with kings, right?
Mm-hmm, right.
But it's a good thing when he does it.
Yeah.
Because he's benevolent. He's good. He's not an evil dictator king. He's a good king. And so the gospel is that he has come to rule and reign. And when he calls us to him, we come to him and we exchange. It's called the Great Exchange. We exchange our leadership, our righteousness, our efforts to be in relationship with God to him being the only way that we're in a relationship with God, him paying for all of our rebellious attitudes toward God and sins. And he leads us. He rules and reigns over us. And that's what really repentance means. It means basically he's taking us, he's giving us, first of all, a change of the mind, a change of the heart, and a change of direction. It encompasses all of that. And so we've been on this journey going through Mark where Jesus is out preaching, teaching this concept. And he's authenticating who he is with miracles, casting out demons. And over the past couple of weeks, we've seen him cast out many, 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 many demons out of one man in the Decapolis. He's healed sick people. He's healed a lame man. He's healed a leper. And he's healed a religious leader's daughter. And the religious leader's friends wanted to kill Jesus because he was saying he was the euangelion of God, the good news of God. And he now is taking his disciples back to his hometown of Nazareth. That's where we are this week. And Jesus was based out of Capernaum, but now he goes back to Nazareth. And when you go to Nazareth, there's not even a remnant of a synagogue there. It was a small city, a city of about 300 to 500 people. And it was very insignificant. In fact, one of the disciples in one passage said, can anything good come out of there? It's so small. It's not a significant place. And outside of Nazareth, Jesus was regarded as a great teacher, a prophet, but in his hometown, no. He was nothing but a common builder, a common guy who worked with stone and with wood, and he was born of an unmarried woman.
Yeah.
She was, I mean, so they rejected him and the truth about him. And I said this on Monday, there's only two places in Scripture where Jesus is amazed. I mean, two times. And one is amazed at the faith of a Gentile person, which would have been mind-blowing. But he's also amazed at the unbelief of the, quote, spiritual people, the Jewish people. And so we talked about yesterday in verses 1 through 3, we saw two of the three principles we're really kind of drilling down on this week, which is the first thing is that God reveals in this text that unbelief, which is what's evident here in the text, ridicules and rejects God's direct evidence. And it's almost as absurd, Brad, as Bill Maher saying, yeah, it's murder, but it's okay.
Yeah.
Everybody thinks bad things are okay as long as it doesn't happen to them.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Meaning it's evident. It's right there. What he's amazed by is the fact they don't believe, and yet there's proof of all that he's done.
Well, I think of some of the politicians, you know, who are saying, it's okay that we have open borders. It's okay. These people are not bad people.
Right.
Let them be sent to their house.
Yeah.
Let them.
But they've got gates around
their
house.
They've got gates and security guards around their house. So it's absurd, not to get political, but just saying.
It's the same.
You got evidence in front of you, and you deny it, even though God has made it seem clear. That's what Romans 1 is all about. Mm-hmm. The creation testifies. Psalm 19,
yeah.
The heavens declare. Mm-hmm. We see evidence
God's
of God.
God's invisible qualities, his divine attributes have been clearly seen so that men are without excuse.
Yeah, and so unbelief we saw yesterday, it ridicules and rejects God's evidence. But we also saw it mock the messenger. Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this the word carpenter there is tekton. It means handyman. Isn't this a blue collar guy? He's not a holy man. He's not a spiritual man.
He's not an educated man.
No. And then they said, well, isn't this Mary's son? Which was a slight, because usually they would have said the father's name, and they're implying he's illegitimate. And they did that more plainly over in John chapter 8. And it says they took offense at him. And so they're going, this guy cannot be divine. And so Jesus is in the middle of his hometown with his disciples, and he's showing them what rejection looks like. Can you remember, Brad, the last time you were rejected? Like I shared today about a rejection that happened to me yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
I tried to talk to somebody, but remember back to the last time you were rejected. It's hard not to take it personal, isn't it?
I am literally, this is one of the points I'm making in my message on Friday from from Acts, where Saul is converted. It says that it suddenly happened. Isn't it interesting? I'm making the point that Saul's conversion was sudden. It was like an immediate thing. And yet we oftentimes, when we get rejected, we get discouraged. You know, when somebody's not open to the gospel, they're not sensitive, they're not tender to the good news of the gospel. We take offense to it, you know. We take offense to somebody taking offense to the gospel. If you haven't been, if you haven't experienced that, you're not sharing the gospel.
Well, no, exactly. And that's why I'm asking you. I mean, like, well, as I travel around the country and teach evangelism, prayer, care, share, and sharing our faith, when I teach those seminars and talk about those things, one of the questions I ask is, why don't we share with more people? And people go, fear. Okay, well, what are you afraid of? Rejection. And we talk about that in next week's On Air program, in which we cover this week in SWAT. Jesus said, when they reject you, they reject me.
That's what I wrote this in my notes today. May I not get bent out of shape when people reject the gospel. Remind us that they are not rejecting us, but you.
And that's what happens. People reject Jesus. They don't want to hear about Jesus. They don't want to talk about Jesus. They have no interest. Mm-hmm. And at that point, all you can do is pray.
Yeah.
Matthew 7 says, don't cast your pearls before swine. What will swine do if you put pearls in their food? They're going to eat it. They'll eat it. But they eat it just like they eat anything. There's nothing special about it, right? Don't give it to the dogs.
Yeah.
You know, you don't take it and give it to people that don't want it because they don't value it. And so when you got person Y over here who's desperate to hear it, and you're spending all your time over here with person X trying to convince a pig that they really aren't a pig, they want the pearl, and they should value the pearl, a pig can't value. They don't care. They just consume.
Yeah.
And so what Jesus said about don't cast your pearls before swine is very applicable. Once you give the gospel to people, once you take the message out there, they're going to mock you, they're going to malign you, they're going to ridicule the truth, and you go, okay. You go, okay, it's time to move on.
Dust off your...
Yeah, we talked about that today. But this next section about unbelief opposes and obstructs God's power, when we come back on the next segment, We're gonna kind of delve into that today, and I'd like you to read Mark 6:1-6 one more time, just for our listeners, so they've got it. It's not a long passage. I think you can get it.
Let's do it. Mark 6, beginning in verse 1, he went away from there and came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. And on the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astonished, saying, "Where did this man get these things? What is the wisdom given to him? How are such mighty works done by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary and brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. And Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor, except in his hometown and among his relatives and in his own household. And he could do no mighty works there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. And he went about among the villages teaching." Hmm. These are the very words of God.
And we're going to tap down in that last part. He could do no mighty works there. He was God. Yeah. Why? What do you mean he couldn't do? Well, when we come back, we're going to talk about it.
Amen. That. Call us this afternoon, 844-777-7928, 844-777-SWAT. Email us at ask@swatradio.com. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Warren News, I'm John Scott. As senators are being sworn in for the trial, Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer says he'll move to dismiss impeachment charges against Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas. It's a move that would end the Senate trial before arguments even begin. Seven foreign ministers are meeting on the resort island of Capri. With soaring tensions in the Middle East and Russia's continuing war in Ukraine topping the agenda of that three-day meeting.
The G7 leaders are expected to issue a united call for Israel to exercise restraint after Iran's unprecedented weekend attack. Italian Foreign Minister Antonio Tajani says he had spoken to his Israeli counterpart, Israel Katz, on Tuesday and has urged Israel to not only de-escalate any reaction to Iran's attack, but to not go ahead with a planned offensive into the southern Gaza city of Rafah. I'm Charles Diladesma.
Also at SRNnews.com, President Biden considering a major increase in tariffs on imports of Chinese steel and aluminum.
President Biden says having a viable steel and aluminum industry is crucial, and cheap Chinese products are a threat to its existence, as well as being more polluting. Further tariffs could be imposed because of an investigation into supposedly unfair Chinese practices in the shipbuilding, maritime, and logistics sectors. This is an effort to look tough on trade in the presidential election campaign against Donald Trump, who has also called for more tariffs on Chinese products. Beijing has repeatedly voiced objections to tariffs, saying they harm the global economy.
BBC correspondent Jonathan Josephs. Boeing in the spotlight as members of Congress examine allegations of major safety failures at the aircraft manufacturer, the Senate holding back-to-back hearings. On Wall Street, the Dow is down 1 point. The NASDAQ off 108. This is SRN News.
You know, it's true. Difficult times have a way of focusing us. We have to think about what matters most when it comes to our spending, our health care. This is why so many people are joining MediShare right now. MediShare is a trusted way to save up to 50% on your monthly health care costs. More than 400,000 people have already made the switch. It's pretty obvious why, too, especially now during this challenging season with healthcare costs and out-of-pocket expenses going up. MediShare can save you a lot of money. The typical family saves $500 a month. MediShare works, too. It's been around for 30 years. Members have shared more than $5 billion of each other's bills. There are different options to choose from to fit your budget. I'll give you the number here in a second. And if you call, you can get a price within 2 minutes. Maybe now is the perfect time to make the switch and start saving. Here you go. Call 844-55-BIBLE. That's 844-55-BIBLE. 844-55-BIBLE.
There's major delays because of a vehicle on fire on I-95 northbound at the ramp to Emerson Street. That's closed the off-ramp. Also, there's an accident on Butler Boulevard westbound between Gate Parkway and Southside Boulevard. And there's a broken-down vehicle on the West Beltway, 295 northbound at Duval Road. Becoming mostly cloudy tonight, low 64. Thursday, mostly sunny, high 89. From the Traffic and Weather Center, I'm AJ.
Why you ever chose me has always been a mystery. All my life I've been told I belong at the end of the line with all the other not quite, with all the never get it right. But it turns out they're the ones you were looking for all this time, 'cause I'm just a nobody.
Hey, folks, welcome back to SWAT Radio. Doug and Brad here on this Wednesday afternoon. Hey, want to just tell you, go to SWATradio.com, click on the meetings tab, and we had a good group at lunch today for the Bible study, and I know there's a study tomorrow morning at Jumpin' Jack's House of Foods here in Jacksonville. If you're anywhere in the area, come join us in person. Again, go to SWATradio.com, click on the meetings tab. You'll see the locations that we meet. We would love to have you join us. By the way, we'll take your calls during the last segment. If you want to call, 844-777-7928. Again, you can always email us any questions or comments to ask@swatradio.com. Doug, let's get back into the text.
Yes, going back to the verse 5, or actually let's start in verse 4. And Jesus said, a prophet is not without honor except in his hometown and among his relatives and in his own household. Now, what's interesting about that is notice the progression.
Mm-hmm.
In his hometown, a bigger circle. In his relatives, he's talking about extended family there, a smaller circle. And then even in his own household, his brothers and sisters were the ones that came and tried to get him sent. He was deranged.
Mm-hmm.
Think about what he's saying there. This is not the first time he said this. In fact, over in Luke chapter 4, Brad, he talks about this. In Luke chapter 4, this is the first time he's in this synagogue, and he reads from Isaiah. He's there. It's practice to be at the synagogue. And so he read from Isaiah, and he didn't pick this passage. They have a normal reading. They're on a reading schedule. Mm-hmm. So he read, showing God's sovereignty, the day he was there is what he read is, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me," verse 18, "because he's anointed me to proclaim good news, euangelion, to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives, the recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." He rolled it up, he gave it back to the attendant, and he sat down. And it says, the eyes of all were fixed on him, and he began to say, "Today this has been fulfilled in your hearing." And all spoke well of him, and they marveled at his gracious words. And so as they did that, he's sitting there and he says, they didn't say, "Is it Mary's son?" They said, "Is this Joseph's son?" And he said, "Doubtless you will quote to me this proverb." And then he says, "Physician, heal thyself. What we heard you did in Capernaum, do here in the hometown as well." He's prophesying about what they will say.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he said, "Truly I say, no prophet is acceptable in his hometown." And then here's the kicker. He goes into Elijah and the widow of Zarephath. And he says, hey, there were a lot of widows in Israel, but that's not where Elijah went. He went to the widow of Zarephath. Now, the problem with that is the widow of Zarephath was a Gentile.
Yeah.
And they're going, whoa, 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 wait a minute. What are you saying? And he goes, oh, you don't get it? Let me tell you another example. Remember Elisha? There were lots of lepers in Israel, but he only went to Naaman the Syrian. Naaman the Syrian was a terrorist to them.
Mm-hmm.
He was an evil general of the opposing army to Israel. And it says, when they heard these things, they were filled with wrath. They rose up, they drove him out, and they brought him to the brow of a hill, which their town was built, and they were going to throw him over the cliff. So this is the first time. So Jesus is re-quoting what he said the first time.
Mm-hmm.
Prophet's not without honor here. You know, because of unbelief, God went to the Gentiles. And that's what Jesus is saying there.
Yeah.
He's saying a prophet is not without honor except here in his hometown. And then verse 5 says he could do no mighty works there.
Yeah.
Now, that has to strike you. If you read the Bible or you're a student of the Bible, isn't he God?
Mm-hmm.
How could he not do it if he's God? Because Jesus purposely limited himself in the second person of the Trinity.
He only did what the Father told him to do.
And only what the Spirit empowered him to do on earth by choice. And remember, what was the purpose of the miracles?
To point to Christ.
Yes. And to attest to the truth about him, right?
Mm-hmm.
Since there was no belief in the truth there, why would you need to attest to the truth? When we have no faith in Jesus, we are cut off from God and his power. And so what unbelief does is it refuses help. It says, I don't need this.
Mm-hmm. Even when it's right in front of you.
Yeah, I don't need God's help. I'll do it my way. Do we live in a country where that's the predominant view?
Yep. Yep.
I don't need your help. I'm going to do it my way. In fact, I'm doing pretty well on my own. And, you know, I shared a story about one time where Lori and I shared the gospel with somebody. And I'm not going to go into great detail, but I'll simply say this. This person was trying to convince me to do something that I felt God wanted me to do, and they're trying to convince me not to do it. And they were talking to me and Lori at the same time about this. And, you know, Lori looked at this person and said, I'm sure you know one day we're going to have to give an account to God for everything we do. And this person said, well, I'm not a very religious person. Like I've found I've done pretty well without it. I don't need it. I've done pretty well on my own. Well, Lori and I proceeded to share the gospel with them. We just were tag teaming, sharing the gospel back and forth. This person pretty much just rejected it and said, no, I don't need it. I don't want it. Thank you. Appreciate it. The very next day, we see, and this was a person of influence, pretty significant influence. The next day, we're watching the news. Back at that time, it was just CNN was the only cable news mm-hmm. network. Tells you how old we are, right?
Yeah, right.
Well, remember when there was no cable at all?
I liked it back then. Yeah. I didn't realize how much I liked it.
Anyway, the next day, we turn on the news and this person is arrested and it makes national news the very next day. And so I couldn't help but believe that God gave this person the gospel the day before they were going to be broken, at least had some breaking circumstances going on. So this person's going to jail. And I think, you know, I'm thinking, okay, they're going to be soft now. I go and visit this person in jail. And they were angry. They did not want me there because unbelief opposes and obstructs God's power. There was no belief there. There was no want for anything there. Even you would think that they would be soft,
right?
That they might have been softened up a little bit. No, there was no soft. It was, you know what? I'll get out of this. I'll make this better. I'll fix this. And this is what honors Satan, not God. It does not honor God in any way, shape, or form when you fix your problems, when you do it. Only God can do that. Can we hear something that is absolutely true? We see evidence that it's true. But we deny it's true and walk away because we don't like the implications of what is said.
Yeah. Or, in this case, they don't like the person who's bringing the message.
Yeah.
You know, I think about that. How quickly we'll dismiss something that's true, but we reject it because of who's delivering it.
Well, and in this case, they didn't like him. They didn't trust him. They didn't think he was legitimate. And verse 6 says he marveled. The word means amazed because of their unbelief. And so it says he went to villages. Jesus walked away. He didn't force himself on them. And this was prophesied by Simeon in Luke 2, where, remember, it says this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel. And what we think about Jesus reveals our eternal destiny. Some people are going to believe. Some people are going to reject. We are at the mercy of a sovereign God when it comes to divine truth. We don't get divine truth apart from his sharing it with us.
We don't even get divine truth apart from God preparing us.
Yes.
You know. He opens our eyes. He opens our ears.
Ephesians 2 says we are dead in our trespasses, right? What can a dead person do? They can do nothing. And so Ephesians 2, 4 through 6, while we were dead, he came to us, right? He's enabling us to believe and then calling us to walk in that belief. And I think of John 6. The people said, what must we be doing to do the works of God? He said this. This is the work of God. You believe in him who he has sent.
Yeah. Amen. We'll take a quick break. Call us at 844-777-7928. 844-777-SWAT. We'll take your calls after the break.
This program has the potential to reach millions of men each week. If you'd like to learn how you can support this unique program that is helping men understand the truth about Jesus through God's Word and how to impact their lives and the lives of others, then go to www.swatradio.com. Then click on the donate link to help SWAT Radio pass on the truth for the next generation. SWAT Radio is underwritten in part by The Guardian Group. You know Brad Sykes as co-host of SWAT Radio. While Brad is committed to making disciples both on and off the air, his ministry extends into the marketplace as a licensed real estate agent with Keller Williams Southside. Brad and his wife Vicki are real estate agents in Northeast Florida. They are the founding partners of The Guardian Group. They help people buy, sell, and invest in real estate with offices near Butler and Southside Boulevards. 904-580-7255. That's 904-480-7255. And online at guardiangroupjax.com. That's guardiangroupjax.com. The Guardian Group. Happy to bring you SWAT Radio on the truth. The Florida Georgia Truth Network. Listen in Jacksonville at 91.7.
There is good news for the captive, good news for the shame. There is good news.
Hey, welcome back to SWAT Radio, our last segment of the day. Call us 844-777-7928. Any questions you've got, comments, you can email those at ask@swatradio.com. Doug, I was thinking as we went into the break, you know, what we think about Jesus reveals our eternal destiny, and that some believe, some reject. We're at the mercy of a sovereign God when it comes to faith. Mm-hmm. Now, that's a touchy topic, theologically, for a lot of people.
Well, of course it is. But listen to what Ephesians says over in Ephesians 1. That's why I love this text in Ephesians 1, and I wrote it down here. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is Ephesians 1:3, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Wait a minute. He chose us before the foundation of the world? Right. He chose us? I have a problem with that. That's what a lot of people say. Mm-hmm. He didn't really choose us, and people start trying to wordsmith that out and figure out how to word salad that into something else. The other problem with that text for a lot of people is before the foundation of the world. You mean I don't have a choice in this? It says that we should be holy and blameless. In love, he predestined us. Well, that's not fair that he chose you and not me. Or he chose this person and not that person. And you're right, Brad. It is very touchy. There's a lot of people that get very upset when you start talking about God choosing somebody before the foundation of the world. Because I remember I was teaching at one study, and God goes, are you a Calvinist? That's immediately what we want to do. We want to label. And I love the way John MacArthur responded to that, because he said, I don't like labels. You know, Calvinists, I mean, John Calvin wouldn't believe what some Calvinists teach today because they're more interested in Calvinism than they are the Bible.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So you can make a system of theology an idol just like you can make something else an idol. And so the thing is, God is sovereign. You know, people want to go back between Arminianism and Calvinism, which is what you alluded to, right? I mean, you were talking about that. Both Arminianism and Calvinism are just two different types of theology. They're systems. See, as man, we want to build a system. We want to be able to explain everything. And what we're trying to do in this case is talking about God's sovereignty in salvation and our responsibility. Well, it doesn't seem fair. I mean, how can he hold me responsible if he chose me or didn't choose me? Mm-hmm. Well, because the truth is, he didn't have to choose anybody. And so in the Calvinist, quote, approach, there's the 5 points of Calvinism people talk about. And MacArthur even talks about how he was a closet Calvinist for a long time. because the people who believe, and I think this is biblical, in the total depravity of man, we don't have an ability, according to what Paul says in Romans 3, to come to him on our own.
Right.
No one would choose good.
Yeah.
And we're dead, according to Ephesians chapter 2.
No one seeks after God, no, not one.
Yeah. And so
I like this discussion, God's will, man's will, free will. I love what Tommy Nelson says. You don't have free will. God frees your will.
Yeah, he freed it.
He freed it. Mm-hmm. He made it possible. That goes to the point that even the faith that you have is not of your own. It is not. It is a gift of God.
Yeah. Well, Arminianism teaches conditional election, whereas the view John Calvin taught was unconditional. As basically, God wrote your name down in the book of life before the foundation of the world. Had nothing to do with you, what you would choose. And people who want to add to that want to say, well, he knew you would choose him. That's still putting good in you enough to choose him, right? But God chooses to save some and chooses not to intervene in the lives of others because he's already, it says, he predestined us for adoption. I don't know how you get around. If in the book of Acts, you see, it says, when Luke's writing, he says, those whom God appointed for eternal life. We don't have a problem with God choosing Jacob and not Esau.
Right.
Mm-hmm. We don't have a problem with God choosing David and
or
not
Paul.
Paul.
How about Paul?
Yeah.
I mean, I love, Paul says this, for you've heard of my former life in Judaism. Mm-hmm. Now, did he have a former life? Oh, man. He was violently opposed to Christianity. He says, how I persecuted the church of God violently and tried to destroy it. And I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age among my people. So extremely zealous was I for the traditions of my father. But listen to this. But when he who had set me apart before I was born and who called me by his grace was pleased to reveal his son to me, in order that I might preach him.
Yeah, when I just hear you talking and I hear you reading that, my mind goes to Chosen by God by R.C. Sproul. Probably one of the best books out there on this whole issue. You know, I can remember having a conversation with a guy when I was doing work with Joe. This guy was so... He'd get so upset when we got into these kind of discussions. And I said, listen, have you ever read the Bible cover to cover? No. Read the Bible cover to cover. And as you read it, look for God's sovereignty and look at man's sovereignty over anything.
Yeah.
And you will see that God is sovereign all the way through. There, yes, man is responsible. How our responsibility works in conjunction with his sovereignty is way beyond me, the same way calculus is beyond a five-year-old's ability to understand. And I tell people that. I said, listen, all I know, this is what the Bible teaches, right? The Bible teaches that he chose us in him before the foundation of the earth. Before the foundation of the world was even made, he chose us, he predestined us, and yet we are responsible. Those who do not respond will be held accountable. So there is the to us, they go, well, wait, how can it be both? God is the one who oversees it all, and really it's not our responsibility to explain it. It's our responsibility to teach it, to teach the truth, what the truth is. And sometimes we get more trapped up or more caught up in the system and trying to explain the system than the whole, what does the Bible say?
Mm-hmm. Well, I was literally asking this question. I do that a lot when I'm writing, as I'm studying. What questions would come out of this? And I'm teaching on Acts, where Saul is converted. Why did Saul have such hatred for Christianity? Think about it. Why was he so violently opposed to Christianity? And the reason he was violently opposed to Christianity is that he had built a system, to your point, a system of righteousness. It talks about, I was this, I was that, I did this. He has this spiritual resume that gives him acceptance before God.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we know that all our righteousness is filthy rags. Mm-hmm. I mean, no wonder Saul opposed that.
Yeah.
He was violently opposed to that because he's thinking, you guys are just a bunch of fishermen.
Yeah, I know.
Look at my resume of all the things I've done. We don't like the idea that I can't work my way.
Well, because when you work your way, you're in control.
And we can boast.
And see, this is the whole reason that a lot of people don't like a sovereign and salvation, God's sovereign and salvation viewpoint, because people want to be in control. And so just to go to this last point of how God's divine power, it was limited because there was no need for an authenticating miracle. So what are the takeaways for the week? Well, what do I do when God brings the truth to my front door? Do I ridicule it flat out or reject it? We talked about that yesterday. What do I do when somebody speaks God's word into my life? Do I allow unbelief to cause me to attack them or their character? And quite frankly, you and I have had conversations. It's easy to fall into that trap because we don't like what surfaces in us. And you gave me a great quote from Paul Tripp yesterday about this whole issue. It's a control issue.
It is. Yeah.
And so when we hear somebody, or God sovereignly in the case that Paul Tripp talked about, brings truth to our door, even as believers, we can reject that truth and attack the messenger, right?
Right, right.
And then finally, is unbelief obstructing God's power in my life? It can, because even as a believer, you can be walking in unbelief about something and God saying, okay, I'm going to let you go that way for a while. And so he withholds his intervening power until you get it. So
yeah, absolutely. Well, listen, you got a great guest on, James Coates, tomorrow.
Yes.
And don't miss that. It's going to be powerful. Email any questions you have for James and Doug to ask@swatradio.com. I may have a couple for you, Doug.
Yeah.
Hey, until then, join us at swatradio.com.
WTRJ.